candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent. This is the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us love one another. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bride, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. From the Gospel of John we hear, I give you a new commandment, and that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love and the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Chloe and Paul, for welcoming us, bringing us into worship on this fourth Sunday in Advent. Good morning to you all, and welcome to St. Paul's. We're happy that you can be here and to enjoy, again, this time of preparation now, kind of our last meeting before Christmas Eve, and we gather again on Tuesday to celebrate and to rejoice in the coming of our Messiah, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it's good to be gathered here, and I'm excited for our service and glad, like I said, that you could be here to join us with our time together this morning. If you are a visitor, we're glad you're here. There are blue cards in your pews. You can fill those out if you'd like, and that's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. And if you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for later in the service, there are yellow cards in your pews, and you can feel free to write those prayer requests down and hand them off to the ushers when they come around a little bit later, and then they will get them to me so that we can pray for them later as well. We have a few different things going on here this morning, and so I don't want to take too much time, but I want to just direct your attention to a few announcements that you'll see in your yellow insert, and you can take a look at some of the other ones in there as well. Like I said already, on Tuesday is our Christmas Eve schedule. We have services at 4:30 and at 10 p.m., and it's going to be an exciting, wonderful time. So if you're going to be in town, please make plans to come to one, or even I've heard a few that are planning to come to both services. Both services are going to be very different in style, and the 4:30 service is going to be your more traditional, lots of carols and music and scripture and a message, and then the traditional candlelight service with Silent Night. And then at 10 o'clock, it's going to be a little bit more quiet and subdued and very, the word I'm kind of using is intimate and personal. We're going to serve communion at that service, and it's going to be just a really special time. And so either one, whichever works for you and your families, or if you'd like to come to both, you're certainly welcome to do that too. And invite your neighbors. I mentioned this, I think, a few weeks ago, that Christmas Eve is the one day in the year that unbelievers are most likely to come to church. And so this is an important time and an important day for us here, not only at St. Paul's, but as Christians, as believers. And so if there's someone in your mind, on your heart, that you'd like to invite, I'd encourage you and invite you to do that and to take advantage of this very special season. You can see that we do not have Sunday school today. If you would like, you're free and welcome to stick around down for coffee and cookies and goodies in the fellowship hall and enjoy that time of fellowship. And then you can see next Sunday we will have our regular worship schedule also, and no Sunday school either there too. Sunday school will be resuming the following Sunday, January 4th or 3rd or 5th or whatever Sunday that is. And a couple of announcements with that. Just remember, too, that the kids' classes will be getting back going again, but then also the adult classes will be starting. And there's a listing of the different adult class offerings in your bulletin, and so I'd invite you to take a look at that, too, and consider and pray about which ones you might want to be a part of. You're welcome to kind of jump in and out of them, too. You're not required to stay the whole time and in one class. You can sample all of them if you would like. And so I'll be thinking about that too, though, as we get Sunday school going again in a few weeks. Let's see here. One two other things. The nominating committee is looking for some help. If you have any names, any suggestions for people that you might like to nominate for our different committees in the congregation, please talk to one of the nominating committee members. If you don't know who they are, you can find me, and I will point you in that direction. If you are interested in serving on a committee, they are interested in knowing that as well. And so keep that in mind. Be praying about that as we get close to our annual meeting time, which is in January. And then one other thing, if someone is planning to be at the late service for Christmas Eve and would like to help me with a project, I promise it's not that hard. I'm looking for one more volunteer, and it's to help run the slides up top. And everything would be set up for you. All you got to do is push a button. So if you are willing to push a button, or a couple buttons, I better not exaggerate and make it too easy. But please talk to me after the service so that we can get you plugged in there as well. Are there any other announcements that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then one of the things we have going on today is we have a Gideon here with us, Brad Schaefer, and we're thankful for him and for the ministry of the Gideons. And so before he comes up to share just briefly, we're going to play a video. And so I'll ask that to get going here at this point.
Good morning. Thank you for having the Gideons here today. I was thinking this morning as I was sitting here, I was here 2 or 3 years ago, I think just when you started, Pastor Micah, and you guys have two services now and you're growing, and that's a really cool deal to see, having two services here today and the growth you guys have experienced. A little bit about the Gideons. We partner with local churches such as yourselves. We have the honor to distribute Bibles throughout the world, as you've seen on the slide there, over 200 countries that we distribute Bibles to. The Gideons were formed in 1908. From 1908 till 2001, we distributed 1 billion Bibles across the world. From 2001 to 2015, we distributed our second billion Bibles in the world. So there's now 2 billion been distributed, and it's just growing. And you can tell by the times that we're in, there's a hungry world out there that's hungry for the gospel, hungry for the good news. It's great I get to come this Sunday before Christmas as we celebrate the birth of Christ. And the salvation experience that we can share throughout the world is just an amazing thing. We're in the middle of the end times, I feel. And there's just, you can see a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of prophecy coming true, a lot of things that are happening. Well, the 200 countries that we're in, there's several that we're not in Iraq, Iran, and China, that is having some of the fastest growth in the world with people coming to Christ. It's like where people are more persecuted, the gospel is spread even more. And it's just amazing to see. We have Bibles in those countries, even though we're not actually invited in, we were able to go there. I've had the privilege of going to several mission trips with my local church and distributing Bibles and taking Bibles in places. And it's just been quite a blessing to be able to do that. One year I went to the country of Cuba, and we were allowed to bring Bibles in. We were told to keep it kind of quiet as we distributed the Bibles, and I was buying, in Cuba they're known for baseball, so in one shop I was buying a baseball bat for my son, and I found a shop owner that was sitting there. I started talking to him, and he was reading a Gideon Bible, and he was sitting in the back reading a Bible, and I saw the Gideon emblem on there, and I tried to explain to him that I was a Gideon, that I was able to distribute Bibles. And he came to me, and in Spanish, he was talking to me, and he explained to me, and he wrote it out, that he was saved by a Gideon Bible. And that was just a really cool, unique experience for me to experience. Also, one year I went to Nicaragua, and we're coming in the country, and I had a whole suitcase full of Gideon Bibles, and they took a people from our group, and they wanted to look through our luggage, and they unzipped my suitcase and had 50 Bibles in there. And I was concerned they may confiscate those, and they did not. Two ladies that were looking through what people were bringing into the country, their eyes got really big. And I just simply gave each one of them a Bible, and they just kind of smiled at me. And I zipped my suitcase back up and kept going through customs. And it was a God moment where he set that up, and I was able to give the first two Bibles away when I entered the country going through customs. So thank you guys for supporting the Gideons. We don't do this of ourselves. We do this by, like I said, partnering with local churches. Thank you for your support of us. And it's just amazing to see the growth of your church. And I would like to close, if I could, Micah, just by praying for the church. God, I thank you for the opportunity to come up and speak today. I thank you for this time of year we celebrate the birth of Christ. And God, I thank you for the ability that we have as Christians to spread the gospel, to spread the good news throughout the world. God, that we can distribute Bibles, give Bibles to people, and support that. And the Holy Spirit will take over and let that person read exactly what they need to read and affect their lives in a way that we could not, that we can just support a ministry, give a Bible to someone, and then we just get out of the way and let you do the work. I thank you for that, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the growth it's experienced. God, thank you for Jesus who died on the cross that we could experience eternal life with you forever. It's his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Brad. And Brad will be in the back. There will be an opportunity for you to give to the Gideon Ministry if that's something that you would feel led to do after the service. Also, I believe there's going to be a basket out in the back in the entry, or just give it to Brad himself when he's back there too. That'll be just great. One other comment here as we get started. We were having a little bit of fun up in the sound booth this morning, finding that two of our songs were not in the computer to get them up on our screen today. We did get that figured out, but we also found that one of our other songs has a very glaring misspelling that you're gonna see regularly, and I just mention it because otherwise it could be a little bit of a distraction. And so I'll just leave it at that. And we just didn't have quite enough time to get that fixed here this morning. But the word is Noel, not Nowel. So just you can still sing it Noel when we get to that song today. Let's be called to worship then here with these words from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Let's stand and sing this prayer together. O come, Emmanuel.
You may be seated. Our first song is number 33, The First Noel. We'll do verses 1 through 4.
Oh.
this time of year, we think about Jesus coming and also think about why he came, why he had to come. And Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We'll sing number 31, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Peter 2:6, for this is contained in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Trust in Jesus' name.
This morning in the sermon, we're talking about how the gospel message really is the foundation on which we stand, and it really permeates every part of our lives. That all of our lives are centered on the gospel and the message of Christ crucified and risen for you. And it's so easy in this season and really in our lives to get distracted by so many things other than anything that takes our eyes away from Christ and from the cross. And one of the things that the cross so uniquely does is it confronts us with the reality and the depth of our sin, and it also comforts us and encourages us with the love of God to send Jesus to the cross to die for our sins. And so it's important as we begin our time now this morning to do so humbly before the cross, confessing our sins and acknowledging our need for a Savior. And so join me with that, if you will. You'll find our confession of sins printed in the bulletin. It'll also be on the screen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess to you that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not loved you above all things or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to you and look to you in faith for your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us your mercy and grace and help us to live our lives in the way that most honors you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us all our sins. The Bible says that to them that believe on his name, he gives power to become the sons of God and bestows upon them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. This time I'll call on Doug Stipp to read our scripture.
Good morning. The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday in Advent is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17, please rise for the reading of God's word. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of God, of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. The Lord will bring on you, on your people, and on your father's house, such days as have never come since the days, since the day that Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. The gospel lesson today is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save the people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Let's join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. Thank you, Father, for these gifts. Thank you for the many gifts which you so abundantly, richly lavish upon us. And as we get ready for this coming week, God, we are grateful for the gift of salvation. We're grateful for the gift of the Messiah. And I pray that you would impress upon our hearts today and each day the extravagant generosity that you have showered us with in your love for us and the salvation that is ours by faith in you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time now and our worship together as we open your word and break the bread of life. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This time, there's a children's sermon for the kiddos, so I'll call on them to come up. A few. I know there's a few of you in here. All right. Thanks for coming up, guys and gals. Are you excited for Christmas? Yeah, what if I told you I'm giving you all a new car? No? Yeah, you don't believe me, right? But I have my car keys with me, and, you know, these are kind of interesting tools here because they look kind of small, right? I mean, you can hold them in your hand or in your pocket, and yet they are pretty powerful. What can a car key do? Turn on a car. Can you turn on a car? No. If you have the key, you can, right? Yeah, before you even turn on a car, though, what can you use the key for in a car? How about to unlock the car, right? Okay, that takes some strength. Can you rip a door open with your own bare hands that's locked? No, of course you can't. So we unlock the car, and then we put the key in the ignition, and this big engine just starts rumbling, okay, when we turn the key. And then because the key is on, that allows the vehicle to do what after we turn it on? Drive, move, right? If we didn't have a key, could you move your car all the time? Could you push it? maybe you could a little bit, maybe with some help. Maybe if all of us got out together, we could. But anyway, the point is, you know, a key is a small thing, but it can do a lot of strong work, can't it? And, you know, we are going to talk in the sermon today about one of the things that we're going to talk about is how Jesus came to fulfill the promise that God made in the Old Testament. Okay, so when Jesus came, that's why we celebrate Christmas, right? Okay, he came because God promised that he would come. And he came to a little town called Bethlehem, very good. And Bethlehem was just this kind of small town out in the country, and nobody really knew much about Bethlehem. There was one other famous person that had been born there too, though, and his name was King David. Have you heard of him? Yeah, but Bethlehem was kind of this forgotten place, and then Jesus came, and it looked like, you know, the Son of God, okay? Jesus would be this big, mighty, strong warrior, but he came in a little town called Bethlehem, and he was born in a stable. And what's one of those things over there? Like, sometimes we call it a manger, right? Or like a feeding trough, okay? Now, would you think that this big, famous king would be born in something that ugly? No, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, right? Okay, but that's how Jesus came. He came very humbly. And it didn't look like he would have much power or much strength to do anything, but is that true or not? No, okay? What did Jesus do when he grew up and he lived and he became a man? What did he do? What's the one big important thing that Jesus did? Died on the cross, that's right, and he saved us from our sins, okay? That's something that you and I aren't strong enough to do, just like we aren't strong enough to start a car or turn a car, okay, or move a car, okay? We aren't strong enough to save ourselves, but Jesus came and he had the power, he had the strength to save us, and that's exactly what he did. And so that's kind of exciting, isn't it? Okay, that's why we have Christmas and that's why we're so thankful. So you guys can go back and sit down. Thanks for coming up. Before the message, let's sing together this hymn 562, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. Let's just do the first and last verses. So the first and last verses of Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee, number 562. Thank you. thought about that last verse and making sure to sing that one, because the prayer there is that Jesus would be our only joy, that he would be our glory. And that's really what we're talking about this morning. And I would invite you, if you have your Bibles with you today, to turn with me to Romans chapter 1 as we begin our time here together. And stand with me also, if you are able, as I read these verses. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Reading in Jesus' name. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends our reading. Father, these are your words. I'm grateful to you for them this morning. I pray that you would sanctify them, set them apart in our hearts as truth. Your word is true. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you say in John 14 that it is you only are the way and the truth and the life. And so help us to see today, impress upon our minds and our hearts, Jesus only. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Author Greg Gilbert wrote a book entitled, What is the Gospel? And he says in the book, one of the greatest dangers the body of Christ faces today is the temptation to rethink and rearticulate the gospel in a way that makes its center something other than the death of Jesus on the cross in the place of sinners. Over and over again, he says, the death of Jesus in the place of sinners is assumed, marginalized, or even sometimes deliberately ignored. He talks in the book about the tendency to make Christ crucified for you secondary at best in your theology, your preaching and teaching, your practical worldview. He talks about how Christ crucified and risen for you shapes your life from day to day, and lots of people are ignorant of that or refuse to accept it. Instead, we replace that message with lots of other things, some ideas and beliefs that even sound good, but distract us from that central defining message of the gospel. This is also a very distracting time of year. This season is marked by social gatherings, parties, Christmas cards, baking and food in general. I was joking with some of you the other day that I just keep a container of goodies with me wherever I go, because it felt for a while earlier this week that every time I turn around, there's another group to celebrate with. You've been Christmas shopping and wrapping gifts. You're maybe excited about time off from school or work this week and planning different fun activities, getting ready to travel, which isn't necessarily a lot of work for me. It usually involves throwing a few clothes in a backpack. But for many of you with families, traveling for Christmas is a huge undertaking. There's music to listen to and movies to watch and lights to see. Maybe this is the first Christmas after the death of a loved one. Maybe you or someone you care about is hurting, and it's hard to be excited about Christmas. There are so many things, good and bad, that can fill our minds and our hearts this time of year, that distract us from what this time of year is even about. This is the time of year that we celebrate the gospel, the good news coming in flesh to this earth. This letter to the Romans, and especially the first 4 chapters, outline in clear and basic terms this good news gospel message. And these first 7 verses that make up our text really set the tone for these 4 chapters and for the entire letter. An old Swedish theologian named Rosenius wrote a great devotional commentary on this book on Romans, and he said that these first verses are the base for Paul's teaching and his emphasis that God sent his Son into the world to redeem mankind otherwise lost because of sin. This is what the gospel is. We're going to focus on that. There are lots of circumstances around this time of year that can distract us from that reason we celebrate. And so we're going to focus on that reason we celebrate this morning in order to set the tone for this week. This is what this is all about. I'm usually not a three-point sermon type of preacher, but as I was studying this text this week, there were three characteristics of the gospel that jumped out to me in these verses. And so if you like sermons with more distinct outlines, enjoy it today. The first characteristic that we find here of the gospel is that it is something that was promised. I referenced that with the kids this morning. We talk a lot about promise this time of year especially. One of the major themes of Advent is promise. There's great value in walking through Advent every year for a lot of reasons, but one that I particularly appreciate is that it reminds us, it trains us to trust that when God promises to come, he keeps his promise. We celebrate Advent every year, and every year what happens? Christmas comes. It trains us and reminds us to trust that when God promises to come, he keeps his promise. Every Advent is a reminder that we are waiting. We talked about that last week in our first service. We reflect on God's promise all through the Old Testament that the Messiah would come, that this Messiah would come from David's line, be born in Bethlehem, little Bethlehem. That this Messiah would bring peace, would crush the serpent's head, all of that. And every Christmas is a celebration that that Messiah came and God kept his promise. And this theme of promise is so intrinsic to Christians and to faith and to who we are as Christians. And Paul later in Romans and again in Galatians, he calls Christians children of promise. We are children of the gospel. The gospel is what gives new life. It's what gives hope. And the gospel is promise. Verse 2 in our text, the gospel is what God promised all through the scriptures, Paul says. This gospel, this promise, this good news message is what the prophets were all ultimately pointing to. And Paul here is clear to explain that he, like the prophets, is qualified to speak on this. He calls himself a servant of Christ Jesus. That's an identification that all Christians have. We're all servants of Christ. And then Paul says that he's called to be an apostle. God called him. He didn't volunteer for this. He's not coming in as some pompous know-it-all. God called him. And God called him to apostleship. He was called directly by Christ to proclaim the gospel, the promise. The same promise that the prophets all spoke of, only now that promise has been fulfilled. So the gospel was promised and then it was fulfilled, but what was that promise? What is this good news message of the gospel? Here's the second characteristic of the gospel as described in these verses. The gospel is about God's Son. The gospel is about God's Son. Part of what Paul does here is he really focuses in on what makes the gospel actually good news, what makes it what it is. This gospel concerns the Son of God. Now, to some, this may sound very elementary, but consider with me some of our human tendencies. And I'm going to use our four Advent candles as kind of a template for this. As we think about these candles and what they symbolize and what they represent, consider with me some of our human tendencies, different Christmas themes here that we see, and keeping in mind that this tendency that I talked about too, to get distracted away from the central message, defining message of the gospel, and in a season that is filled with distractions, we have this. The first candle is hope. Think about hope. How often do we look for hope outside of Christ? In my Sunday school class last week, we were talking about death and the second coming. We got into a discussion about funerals. At funerals, people are looking for, they're in need of hope because death is inherently, seemingly hopeless. Death looks like the end. And so people at funerals need hope. Friends, I've been to way too many funerals where Christ is an afterthought at best. And people look for hope in lots of other places, even at funerals other than Christ. To have hope that is of any value, we need to see Christ, to hear the gospel, which is concerning the Son of God. Peace is the second candle. Contentment is another related word. If I only had this or that, I'd be content. I'd be at peace. Think about this coming week. This coming week is supposed to be peaceful, right? And I hope you all can find quiet moments. But for some of you, this week is going to be marked by a lot of chaos, too. And I'm so thankful that the peace that we're talking about doesn't have anything to do with how busy our schedules are this week. For different reasons, maybe this is going to be a very hard week for some of you. Difficult family dynamics. Maybe you're living right now in much unrest. Could be based on circumstance, could be based on sin in your life. I'm telling you today that if that's the case, the peace that you're looking for won't be found simply in a quiet moment somewhere. Or even coming to church on Tuesday and lighting a candle and singing Silent Night, as great and wonderful and beautiful as that is. If you're looking for peace to come on Tuesday, and if you do find it in, for example, that beautiful service, it's going to be because you've seen the light of the world, Christ. Not in some fleeting moment. Because Christ, the Bible says, is your peace. Joy was last week's candle. This time of year is really hard for some people, and it can become a joyless season. If that's you, I beg you, look to the Son of God. He is the bringer of joy. You see how it's so easy for us to get distracted? We look to so many other places other than to Christ, to the Son of God. We're going to sing on Tuesday, joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. Today the candle is love. Really easy to look for love, for acceptance in all the wrong places. Love that fulfills, love that lasts is found only in the gospel, which is about God's Son. As we get ready for this wonderful week marked by emotions like hope, peace, joy, and love, remember that those in their only true and best forms are found only in the gospel concerning the Son of God. And here's why. He came in flesh. He was given power and he rose from the dead. This is verse 4. This verse has tones of an early confession of faith. It sounds a little bit like what we say when we say the Apostles' Creed. The gospel, the fulfillment of the promise of good news, the gospel is that the Son of God humbly and lovingly descended from heaven and eternity and took on mortal human flesh. He put to death the flesh. He died a most gruesome death, and he rose in power from the dead. He defeated the devil, sin, and death. Humanity's great enemy. And he did it for you. That's the third characteristic of the gospel. The gospel is where we receive grace. It's one thing to say that the gospel is promise, that's true, and that it's about the Son of God. Amen, hallelujah. But Paul directs us now to the very personal nature of this message of promise concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is where you receive grace. And if you don't hear the implication in there, you need grace. Because you are so prone to wander. You are prone to be distracted. We all are. By so many things, anything outside of the gospel promise of Jesus Christ. This is why these verses are a springboard, or the base, as Rosenius called it, into the rest of the letter, where Paul outlines the inherent unrighteousness of mankind. There is none righteous, he says. All have sinned, all fall short of God's glory, and the wages of that sin is death. And then Paul outlines in the chapters following also the perfect righteousness of Christ that is yours by grace through faith. Later in chapter 1, Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel. And he explains the gospel as the power of God for salvation to all who believe. That in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Think about that. In the promise of the Messiah fulfilled, we see God's righteousness. In the promise of the Messiah fulfilled, that's where we see God's righteousness. In Christ, God's righteousness is revealed, shown to you by faith. And by faith, it's yours because of grace. In Jesus Christ, God has lavishly showered you with his riches, his love, joy, peace, hope. We don't deserve it. But because Christ came and fulfilled the righteous demands of God's law, we have salvation. We have eternal life. In faith, we are called to belong to Jesus, Paul says here in our text. This is the personal nature of the gospel. God promised he would come, and he came for you so that you could have eternal life, and eternal life is exactly what you have by faith in Christ. You are loved by God. If you don't hear anything else, hear that this Christmas. You are loved by God, it says. You are called to be saints. I need to just quickly clarify that. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. And it's because God has called you to that. In other words, he makes you a saint. Sainthood isn't something you earn, it's something God gives you. And then as a result, moral excellence grows from that. It's all grace upon grace. His abundant generosity to us piles up and our hearts overflow in comfort and joy. Think about this. Do you ever find it hard to receive gifts? I do. We've heard that cliche, it's easier to give than to receive. There are reasons for this, and I won't get into all the psychology of it, but I know in part it's a pride and humility thing. It's humbling to receive gifts, gifts that we don't deserve, which is really the difference between a gift and a wage anyway, right? A gift is not something we earn. A gift shows that we are cared for. A gift shows that we are loved. And friends, when Jesus came to this earth, he brought with him a gift that we did not earn, a gift that we do not deserve. He brought salvation because he loves you. And he generously, graciously piles on you his gifts, his love, forgiveness, mercy, pardon, every day.
He adopts you and he makes you an heir of heaven, eternal life. This is what Christmas is all about. In the midst of all the distractions of this week, remember that you are loved by God. And he proved it when he fulfilled his promise and sent his son to die and rise again in order that you might be clothed in his righteousness and made a saint. What a gift. May God's extravagant grace and peace that passes all understanding be yours this Christmas season. Amen. Let's close and sing together hymn number 404, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" 404. Let's stand and sing this together. We are amazed, O God, by your love, that you would show us when you sent your Son to come to this earth and to die the death that he did and to rise again in victory. We are amazed by your love, by your grace. God, thank you. Thank you for clothing us in your divine righteousness, as that hymn sang. What a gift. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts this week with joy. The joy, the peace, the love, the hope that comes only from you. It is of eternal quality. And so, God, I pray that for myself, and I pray that for each person here today. Forgive us when we get distracted by so many different things in this world, good and bad. Help us to keep our eyes ever and only on you. Lord, I thank you for this time, and I thank you For each person here, I pray for those who couldn't be with us today for whatever reason, for those who are hurting, I pray that you would bring healing. I pray for comfort for them. For those who are maybe grieving the loss of a loved one, I pray, God, that you would bring peace that only you can bring through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for safe travels for everyone this week, those who are going to be on the road. I pray that you would keep all of our friends and loved ones safe through this holiday season. And I pray that you would bless the times that we will have together. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now hear the benediction, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.